Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's hold true to what we always tell ourselves. You know, hey, if this one shouldn't take too long, let's shake hands on it right now. Let's make it happen. Let's dive into these top 12 tight end rankings. We both have the same number one, obviously, with Travis Kelce, and that's where it ends for us. This is kind of probably the most scattered our top 12s were for any position. You have Waller at 2, Kittle at 3, Hawkinson at 4, Kyle Pitts at 5, Dallas Goedert 6, Andrews at 7, Tony at 8, Noah Fant at 9, Logan Thomas at 10, Tyler Higbee making a return to your ranks at 11, and then Ingram at 12. I had Kittle at 2, Waller at 3, Pitts at 4, Hawk at 5. We do both have Goddard at 6. I have Irv Smith in my top 12 for the name that I have that you do not. Andrews at 8, Noah Fant at 9, Tonyan at 10, Ingram at 11, and Logan Thomas here at 12. I feel like I'm going to end up having Waller ahead of Kittle by the time we get to the season, because I just don't think that – I should probably just change it now, but you know we're here, so it's not going to happen. But Kittle does not have the 140 target upside that Waller has. I think Waller last year was tied with Kelce, if I'm remembering correctly, with 145 targets, I believe. Kittle is just not going to see that many in the Niners offense, you know, with guys like Ayuk and if Debo can stay healthy and things like that. But is that kind of what went into Waller being a 2 for you? And like I said, you know, next time we do this, that's probably going to be the same case for me.
Yeah. The Raiders did absolutely nothing this offseason. They pretty much swapped out Nelson Aguilar for John Brown. And that's kind of the gist. They also kind of shook up their offensive line. But I mean, my goodness, I mean, if you look at Darren Waller's production last year, he is pretty much first or second in just about every damn category you can think of. He had a 28% target share, which is number one among all tight ends, number one in targets at 146. You know, he ran a route on 91% of his routes, or of his snaps, excuse me, 107 receptions, which is insane. 1,200 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, just third. He was number one in yards after the catch. He was 2 in fantasy points per game, number 3 in yards per route run, you know, first in deep targets. Like, the dude just is the offense of the Las Vegas Raiders, and Nothing's changed at all. He is going to continue to get hammered with targets, and he's going to see a ton. And so while I love George Kittle, there's just no way I could put him ahead of Darren Waller. Especially when you look at the two offenses, you know, the 49ers having Ayuk and Debo and all these pass catchers there where the Raiders really don't. I mean, unless they're all of a sudden – I mean, I like Bryan Edwards as much as the next guy. I think maybe he could possibly break out a little bit this year and get more involved. But it's just not the way the Raiders are built. The Raiders have done nothing to really address this. Henry Ruggs is still there. Derek Carr is still there. So yeah. Darren Waller is going to get hammered with targets, and I think he probably – yeah, it gets at least 20 to 30 more targets than probably what George Kittle does this year. So Darren Waller is a lock for me there. Past that, I have TJ Hockenson at 4, which I think he's also going to see a ton of targets in Detroit. They have nobody else to really throw the ball to. He is definitely their alpha, their number one target, because, I mean, they have Tyrell and Rashad Perriman and, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who they drafted this year, but and DeAndre Swift. Like, I think he leads the team in targets this year, so it's hard not to like him. I have to ask, though. Like, we both have Kyle Pitts high. You know, you have him a little bit higher than me. I absolutely love Kyle Pitts. But let me ask you, how would you feel about taking Kyle Pitts? This is where his ADP is right now.
Not going to be able 58. To do it.
58.
Yeah, that's I can't do it. I would not use – I wouldn't. I just wouldn't be able to do it. I can't. We both love Pitts. Dude's a freak. He's a unicorn. We both believe that he's going to buck the rookie tight end trend. You know, people always saying, you know, it takes a while for tight ends to develop and this, that, and the other, which is all true. But Kyle Pitts does not fall in that. But like I've been hearing some of this with his ADP. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I think he finishes in the top five, but I don't know if I'll be able to draft him at that price. If you're drafting him at that price, you are basically saying without a shadow of a doubt, he's going to come in and have 800 yards as a rookie. I mean, I think Hockenson was what, tight end 3 or 4 last year. I think he had like 700 something yards. I mean, to expect him to come in and do that as a rookie, could he do it? Absolutely. But in terms of draft price, I can't get there. Like I would be more than happy picking up, you know, anyone who's going after him at a much discounted price. Because I can't imagine maybe after Hockenson, is Hockenson going after Pitts currently?
Yeah, so it's Kyle Pitts at 58, Mark Andrews at 60, Hockenson at 67.8. And then there's a pretty significant drop-off to Dallas Goedert at 86, Noah Fant's going 93, Logan Thomas 98, Higbee's actually going 104, and Irv, your boy, is going 120.
Give me Irv at 120 all day over Pitts at 60.
And it's just like I love Kyle Pitts. Like there's been nobody that has been higher beating the drum for Kyle Pitts. And I think that he could definitely break this trend. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had 800 receiving yards. You know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he had 800 receiving yards, say 6 touchdowns or something year one. Wouldn't shock me one bit. But I am not investing that kind of capital into him. Like we talked about it earlier, like, oh, if you have the top five, it's not that crazy. It's not. But actually hitting the button to draft him.
Putting that sticker on the draft board at that point.
With he's never played. And like there is the possibility that he does take a little bit longer to, you know, maybe he does, or maybe he's not as involved as we like him to be. You know, whatever. It's just 58 is a bridge too far for me for that high. And I think he's going to go higher. That's the thing. We're in May and he's going 58. Just wait until that we keep hyping him, we get more. Oh my God, training camp's going to come and Kyle Pitts is balling and training camp. And he's just going to keep going higher. Like, don't be surprised if he ends up going in like the 40s or the low 30s, 40s.
So you don't think this price is like baking in some of the Julio rumors yet?
It could. It very well could. But at the same time, I don't know. Like maybe I'm to blame for this. Maybe I should also take some credit in this blame of the hype for Kyle Pitts as well. Because I don't hate it. Because I know a lot of people, there's the other side of the Kyle Pitts hate where people are like, you know, like it's like cool to be against Kyle Pitts or to down it or whatever. Like, I honestly think, I believe that he could definitely, you know, well, I think Jeremy Shockey was the last one to have over like 800 receiving yards his rookie year. Like, I think he could definitely do it, especially if Julio Jones trade. And you're probably right. Maybe something that is baked in there. And if he doesn't get traded, maybe he falls a little bit. But I just can't do it at 58.
Not at all. We obviously had Andrews higher at this time last year. I don't know. I feel like I kind of just put him there by default, to be honest. To draft him, like, I'm not all that excited about it, considering the additions that Baltimore made. Is that kind of how you felt here as well? Just kind of like, you know, tight end is a little bit gross. Andrews is obviously super talented, but like, I kind of feel like he's kind of just there because I have to have him higher than the other guys on this list.
Yeah, I mean, and he wasn't terrible last year. I mean, he wasn't Darren Waller or Kelsey, obviously, but I mean, he was fourth in fantasy points per game. His 25% target share was third. He had 89 targets, which was ninth among all tight ends. Ran a route on 89% of his snaps. Had 58 receptions for 701 yards and 7 touchdowns. Like, it's not terrible for a tight end, right? But he's still going at 60, which is not terrible. But, like, the thing that worries me the most is what they've added. Is that they didn't have Rashad Bateman last year. Sammy Watkins is there, too, as well. Like, we always forget. And, well, you don't. But everybody else does. Tylan Wallace. Like, they've added a lot of pass catchers here. And for an offense that doesn't throw the ball very much anyways, they were dead last in pass plays per game. And so it's just not like, I think keeping him this high, I think it's kind of a little bit of a mistake because of all the things they've added. I think he takes a little bit of a hit, unless you think that this offense is going to have to throw the ball more. And so lowering him down a little bit, I don't really mind. And I probably will have zero Mark Andrews because of where he's going. Because once you, like some of these other tight ends, you know, Robert Tonyan could just certainly change if Aaron Rodgers is traded. If he's there, I think you feel better about, you know, Robert Tonyan in this offense with Aaron Rodgers another year with them. They didn't really add a whole lot out of Amari Rodgers. Robert Tonyan's going to get a ton of targets with Green Bay. Noah Fant, you know, I'm still waiting for him to kind of have that monster breakout year because it's coming. He is uber athletic. Absolutely love him. Logan Thomas. Now, the reason I have Tyler Higbee so high is because Gerald Everett is gone from Seattle, or he went to Seattle, which I think, really helps Tyler Higbee's upside. You know, we kind of saw it a couple years ago whenever Gerald Everett went down and Tyler Higbee went ham. Now you add Matt Stafford, who's a much better quarterback than Jared Goff, and I think it's going to be pretty tough for him not to. I mean, again, another team that didn't really do a whole lot. They brought in DeSean Jackson, who's going to be a part-time player. Van Jefferson is still there. I just think that he is going to be on the field a ton. He's going to see a pretty decent target share. So I think he's pretty easy top 12 for me.
I couldn't get there with him. I get with Everett being out, and at that point at 11, like, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna try and sit here and really go at you for that one because it's tight end at 11. At the end of the day, would I be surprised if he finished, you know, as a back end tight end one? No, I wouldn't. But even with Everett being gone, like, he should, like, the thing, maybe what I'm doing too much is trying to look at coaches and be like, all right, we saw how Higbee ended 2019. And then in 2020, you just threw Everett back into it because, like, they were splitting, you know what I mean? They're obviously splitting snaps. The route participation for both of those guys was not great, probably because they were eating into each other's workloads there from last year. But I don't know, man. And I think with the additions of DeSean Jackson and then.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tutu Atwell, with those two, I think we see a more of an emphasis on downfield passing, and you know, like you were alluding to, the difference between Stafford, even at his age, versus Goff's is something that's a pretty big discrepancy for me. I know you feel the same because you've been pounding the Matt Stafford drum for a while. But just to go back to Higby real quick, his route participation was 29th last year, and he was 20th in routes run. So it's, I mean, his snap share was up at 79%, and that put him at 12th. And Everett's was much lower than that. But like, I don't know, like maybe it's just the, you know, we got bitten by that snake last year, and I don't want to go back to it. But that was someone I was actually a little surprised to see Higby sitting there in your top 12. And again, top 12 for tight end is such a low bar. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, like try and go at you for that one. But that's just one of those guys that I could not get there. Like, I would be more likely to put one of the New England tight ends up in my top 12 versus Higby. Like, I just feel like he should have been able to clearly beat out Everett, especially with the way that offense was, you know, kind of regressing last year and not, you know, I mean, not looking anywhere near the levels it had been the years previous, and having a weapon like Higby there to use. I'm just, I don't know, that was just one of those ones where, and I don't think you're alone with having Higby up here either. I know there are some other people talking about putting Higby back up in this kind of range. He's just one person who, you know, I will probably fade this year. And if, you know, if he bites me in the ass for doing that, then so be it. But I'm kind of just off him.
Well, I mean, if you look at some of the other numbers on him, past kind of just your normal stats, but I mean, 44 receptions, 522 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns. It's not terrible. He was 11th in yards after the catch, which is a positive sign. 1.65 yards per out run, which is 11th among all tight ends. And he was also 8th in fantasy points per target, and he was also 6th in expected points added as well. So, and 3rd, his QB rating when targeted was 3rd among all tight ends as well. So, I think there is some stuff to like here with Tyler Higbee. And I think with adding Stafford, I think this just elevates him even more for me. And without Gerald Everett, I think we really could see, you know, a pretty big season for him. Is it going to be a monster season? No, but like I think a top 10 tight end is definitely.
Yeah, like I said, if it, I wouldn't be surprised, but that's also a low bar to reach with tight ends anyway. I'm kind of staking my guy with Irv Smith this year. I just feel like with, you know, been seeing Thielen getting banged up the past couple of years. He's obviously, you know, on his closer to the back nine than he is the front nine of his career. And I just think someone with his athleticism, you know, if we want to talk about someone leaving a room, I think with Kyle Rudolph getting out of Minnesota, that's going to be really big for Irv. And I think that the passing offense anyway is going to go through Jefferson and
Irv.
Jefferson and Irv Smith. So, I mean, outside of this, I think it's, you know, these top 12 are pretty cut and dry. Do you have a late round guy you've been targeting in best ball or anything like that, or a guy who, you know, you're not quite ready to put into the top 12, but you think could be looking at a breakout?
Well, I do love Irv, right? Like, we're always, you know, swerving with Irv, you know, swerving with Irv. I'm going to do that every time. I love it. But I like Irv Smith. I do. I like him a lot. The only reason I don't have him up here is because a little bit of the offense that he's in is that really trusting him on a week-to-week basis is going to be a little bit tougher because he's in a low-volume pass offense. And so that's one thing I consider. But in terms of like a late-round tight end, guys, Adam Trautman continues to be a guy that I love. In an offense where there's not a ton of people there, you know, it's Michael Thomas and Traquan and, you know, little Jordan Humphrey, you know, and some of the other guys that they have there. You know, like it, there's definitely some targets there. Jared Cook is gone. And so I like Adam Trautman a lot. I think that, you know, I could talk myself into a Cole Kmet, especially with, you know, the addition they've had. And Chris Herndon, you know, I have not given up on Chris Herndon. I'm not giving up on him. I know you've given up on him. I have not. I am sticking with Chris Herndon, a late round tight end, you know, somebody you could add in this offense, this Jets offense that should be better with Zach Wilson. And no, Adam Gase, the player killer. So I am sticking true with Chris Herndon. I'm going down with the Chris Herndon ship. You jumped off. You hedged and jumped off. I am staying on, and I am, you know, like Titanic. I'm over here, you know, holding out, and he's holding on to me, you know, and we're on the front of the ship, and, you know, Celine Dion is playing, and he's like, "Do you trust me?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do."
And on that note, I don't think there's anything left to say. I'm going to let that image soak into your brains and leave you with that one. Please be sure to check out the other ranking shows that we have done. If there's anything you guys want to see from us, please let us know. We're always looking for to help you guys out. If, you know, two quarterback, two tight end leagues, auction, whatever you guys are doing with your redrafts this year, let us know. If there's something you think is missing that we can help contribute to in terms of the in terms of content on YouTube and podcasts and everything else, let us know. Hit that subscribe. Reach out to us on social. Leave a rate and review on podcasts, and we'll talk to all of you guys real soon.
And last for a lifetime, and never let go till we're gone. Love was when I loved you, one true time I'd hold you. In my life we'll always go. Once more, you open the
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.